You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
PackersTalk.com. Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Packers Therapy.
It's Packers Therapy. It's Chris and Dave on a rare bye week podcast. Not only a bye week, because we haven't started the season yet, so I can't really have a bye week until we start the season. But no Packers football this weekend. There was college football this weekend. And we promised we'd talk a little bit about the roster, because the Packers finalized that this week, at least as final as it can be. There's going to be a lot of fluidness, I think, throughout the season. And we're also talk a little bit about the upcoming season. We do our predictions so you can throw it back in our face when they either exceed or don't live up to them. That's always fun. And of course, the betting lines will come toward the end of this podcast. So, Dave, let's start off right away talking about the roster. And I will give my thought on this first. It seemed to me the Packers got pretty much everybody that they wanted to get in one way or another, if not on the final 53, than on that ever-expanding practice squad, which seems more and more like a regular part of the team.
Right.
Just, you know, you can now kind of, you know, about three times you can promote a guy and put him back down without exposing him to waivers. And so it's not as impermeable as it once was, where if you cut a guy, you know, he goes to the practice squad and they kind of, you know, send him off to an island someplace. And then he's got to, you know, take a rowboat across a dangerous strait filled with sharks before he can get on the team. And, you know, always subject to danger along the way. And then if he goes back, he's got to, you know, as he rows back across the strait, he might get, you know, intercepted by enemy. It's not really like that anymore. So I guess I'm a little surprised by some things, but it really doesn't seem to matter as much as it once used to.
I agree. That was the first point I was going to make, too, is how much the practice squad now just feels like an extension of the team, that people you and we said at the last podcast that we worry about this guy and that guy. They always end up not getting picked because every other team has this guy and their guy. Like it's a rare thing that and the Packers did pick up somebody who I don't know if they were hoping that he got into the practice squad, but he was a special teams guy that we can talk about. But yeah, it feels like it's the roster, and then there's roster, you know, B. It's just an extension. They can come up anytime they want. It feels like I used to think that they used to practice like in a different facility, but it sounds like they're all right there. For the first time, it really feels like this practice squad is just an extension of the team. And maybe two, I mean, I remember watching preseason games, but as I'm looking at the practice squad, I think now I kind of recognize every single guy that they have, right?
Yeah,
it seems like they have a backstory. We've been reading about them. Maybe because the top heavy guys are so they've been invisible all preseason. So we've been focused on the second part of the team. And so now we recognize, I mean, I would say out of the 15 guys that's listed here, I mean, there's probably only a couple that I really don't have a good sense of. Benji Franklin, I guess, is a new guy. And I didn't realize that. I thought Ben Franklin never had any children. I didn't know. But
I actually thought when I saw that, I thought it actually was one of our founding fathers that the Packers were able to, you know, dig up, so to speak, and put onto the team. Which
I hear he's an electrifying player.
Oh,
this guy.
Ooh.
It writes itself, this guy. If he ever makes a highlight,
I certainly hope he gets promoted and does something so we can get loose with all of these. You know, this is going to be great.
Yeah, he's as high as a kite. I mean, he goes on and on and on. Yeah, we could.
You know, he does all of the teams. He can do all of their motivational talks before the games because he'll have all of these great, you know, the early bird catches the worm kind of phrases.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he can read out of the old farmer's almanac, you know, it'll be great stuff. Yeah. Or it was Poor Richard's almanac. Sorry.
Yes, that's great. But yeah, I think everybody else, you know, even from Caleb Jones, the tackle that we, you know, yeah. everyone was kind of excited about. Well, he's still there. So it looks, you're right. It seemed that they were able to keep everybody that they've with that. I don't know if they have good depth or not. I guess you think of defensive line, well, they still have Chris Slayton and Jack Heflin, who I thought were pretty solid, and they're still with the team. So yeah, I think that's my first point too, is that the practice squad is very recognizable and kind of a bigger deal. And maybe that's the way it'll be going forward.
Yeah. I think that's, kind of an unheralded, change in the NFL. And maybe that's one reason why teams don't, you know, get a lot of guys, because I think you even mentioned this, that at some level, these players become kind of fungible. And, you know, while we really like, well, you mentioned Caleb Jones. Well, every team's got a guy like that they really like. And so why should we bring in Caleb Jones? Now, he might be an exception because of his size, but they probably also have a project tackle that's got a lot of upside in their opinion. So why should we go with somebody who doesn't know our system, doesn't know our culture? Right. You know, he's going to be brought in from the out. He's a lot of unknowns. Why not just go with the guy that we have? Because we're so far down the roster anyway. We've invested this much in the guys we have. Why do we want to pick up somebody else? And it seems like every team thinks that. I haven't seen an article about, you know, how many guys actually got claimed. I don't think that there are a lot of them. I think most teams get the guys that they want. What will be interesting to me to watch is during the season, because guys who are on the practice squad can be signed to an active 53 by other teams. So I'm wondering, you know, right now everyone's relatively healthy, but, you know, you get into week 6 and, you know, depth starts becoming a problem for some teams. Is that with these bigger practice squads, you become vulnerable, you know, guys that you do like, but there's not a place for them on your roster. There is a place on one of the other 31 teams. Mm-hmm. And then you might be able to see some guys, you know, leaving guys that maybe you would have liked, and they wind up on somebody else's 53. That might be a factor as we go forward.
Now, when you look at the practice squad, do you think, who do you think is most likely to get called up?
That's a good point. I think probably the running back, I mean, called up, you mean to the Packers active.
Correct.
Correct. Yeah, yep. Okay, yeah. I think probably the running backs. You know, they went with two on the 53, and we kind of speculated last week that they might do something like that because of the chances of, you know, getting, you know, Goodson and Taylor, which sounds like a, you know, some kind of a game show, you know. No, that's Goodson and Todman. I'm sorry. I thought that they created some of those great game shows from the 60s and 70s. Anyway, these guys are actually running backs for the Packers. And, you know, there was some concern because we see him play in the preseason. And, oh, wow, Goodson looks dynamic. Somebody else is going to see that and going to grab him. Well, they didn't. Yeah. So those guys were not as vulnerable as we thought. And they wound up going to the practice squad. And my guess is, depending on the opponent, they're going to game plan and say, well, I think this is a week where we're going to need a traditional running back. Or they'll say, you know, this week we probably can get by with Amari Rodgers running a few plays out of the backfield, and we really don't need to burn one of those three active slots for one of those guys. In fact, Packers got two guys that they like. You know, that's actually 6 games where they can elevate those guys without risk of losing them. So I think those are the most likely players who are going to see time in games, who will get that, you know, that weekly promotion from the practice squad. But I think it's going to be situational based on game plan.
I think that's right. So, and I, have you ever heard that rule before, that they can be called up 3 times before you have to then put them on the squad, or what, they stay in the practice squad for the rest of the season, or?
Yeah, right. That's that, or you can elevate them again, I think, after 3, but you have to then expose them to waivers. You know, they got to take the rowboat across the dangerous strait.
Yeah.
I think that's how that works. I think in the past, maybe last season, it might've been twice you might have been able to do that. I think it's kind of a reaction to the whole COVID situation, and they changed the rules. But I think before COVID, it was this deal. Well, you know, you've got your practice squad. I think it was only 10 also back 3 years ago. And this was much more of this, well, you know, it's a separate group. And yes, they're yours, and you pay them. I think they earn like minimum wage or something like that. not really, but it's,
you know, so it's 15 bucks an hour.
Yeah. It's a lesser amount, but yeah. It's above the $15.
League minimum. Yeah, something like that.
So, but in order to elevate that, you could do that, but you had to run the risk of maybe, you know, losing them. And then if you wanted to get them back, you have to go through the waiver process. But that all changed, I think, with COVID. And I think they've sort of made it just kind of permanent now. And so you really, every team has got a roster of basically a 69. Now, there are some limitations on some of those practice squad guys. And if you want to make them a permanent member of the 53, that's a different deal. But largely, they're on the practice squad because you probably don't intend to play them every week, and you don't protect them in the same way you do your 53, because they are always subject to being claimed by somebody else and brought onto their 53. That's the deal. They can't get claimed and then go on to somebody else's practice squad. They have to get claimed and go on to the 53, which means the other team has to then release somebody. So I think that is changed the whole complexion of how the NFL rosters are constructed. And it's not as dramatic of a thing when a guy gets cut at the deadline, because a lot of those guys, you know, wind up just going to the practice squad. Some of them, you know, get permanently sliced, but that you know, usually the guys we're thinking about are young players with promise and upside.
Yeah. So my second point that I take away from all this is that they made an emphasis of special teams.
Yes, right.
That there's a number of people that, and it was interesting, I guess we've talked about this before, that they, you know, they want to have guys on offense and defense that are special. A lot of times they're fast, but some of them were lighter, and especially I think of the defensive backs, they want fast guys. Or like a Kevin King, who's, you know, he's a tall, fast guy, but he was light, right? He probably wasn't, I don't know, he made any plays on special teams, but, you know, he was easily pushed around if he was in the mix of blockers. But it seems like this year they intentionally went out and got guys who can play special teams, which is, I think I can include, is it Dalen Levette?
Yeah.
How do you say his name? And then they picked up this other guy, Ford, which Rudy Ford. I'm excited to see this guy. I guess he's a special teams beast. And, you know, if Gutekunst goes out and grabs someone as a free agent, then there must be something very intriguing, because he never does that, right? He has a hole in the roster, and then you go out and get an established player to fill it. That seems so infrequent to me. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know if you agree with that, but see, he must be very good on special teams.
I think they probably made a special deal with the new special teams coach that, yeah, besides paying you a boatload of money, I think he's the highest or among the highest paid special teams coordinators in the league. We're going to pay you that, but we're also going to make a commitment to getting guys that are good at playing special teams, so we're not setting you up for failure. And I think those were probably the conditions of employment. They seem like they're really making good on that promise. Now, as fans, though, I think we have to be prepared that some of these guys, you mentioned Rudy Ford, and you mentioned Levitt, they're not very good from scrimmage. I mean, they're probably real good and difference-making guys on special teams, which the Packers need. But this is a Jared Bush kind of situation where you remember how people, certainly not us, but, you know, fans would, you know, kind of crucify poor Jared Bush because, you know, he wasn't great from scrimmage, but he had real value when it came to special teams. And again, whenever I mention Jared Bush, I have to mention the fact that he did have an interception in the Super Bowl, just saying. So I think we need to be prepared that when these guys have to play, and there are, you know, guys get hurt playing football. I don't know if you're aware of that, Dave. And sometimes that means you have to play your reserves from scrimmage. And those guys, Packers traditionally have kept guys that they thought better from scrimmage instead of special teams. Well, now they're acknowledging the fact that special teams are so important, we're going to keep some players and use some roster spots on guys who are very good at special teams. Super. But when they have to play, everyone has to realize there's going to be a busted coverage or a missed tackle, or there's going to be a step slow, because that's who they are. That's what they do.
Well, I think as long as your main guys are healthy, you have these guys that can play special teams.
It's the National Football League. They play 17 games. They're never going to be healthy.
No. But I'm saying as long as you have the roster now, you can have these guys. But as soon as Savage goes down, I wonder if Leavitt is demoted or something, you bring up someone from the practice squad, that's better. You know, could they kind of make that adjustment? So have the luxury now, since everyone is relative, starting the season off. But that these special teams guys that are specialists there, I wonder if they stick after injuries. I think that's what you're saying.
This is going to make it in some ways on the wonky side of things more interesting, because you have all these other possibilities, and I could see a lot of discussion around, they could have elevated so-and-so, from the practice squad and made this other guy inactive because of this matchup. And now there's a lot more decisions to be made, which means there's a lot more places for fans to say, what the hell were they thinking? Why didn't they elevate? It will make it, more interesting to see how the more creative general managers and coaches use that practice squad. In a way, it was, before it wasn't as easy to do that. Well, now there's all these options. And I think it's going to open the door for more creative front office people who are able to work with the roster in other ways. It will kind of make what happens during the week and leading right up to the game, I think it's going to make it more interesting because of all the options that teams have.
I just counted. Do you know how many undrafted free agents the Packers have on their 53?
This is going to shock you, Dave. I don't have that number.
What would
right
you
at
guess, though? That
okay. Out of the 53, not of the 69, we're talking about the 53.
Actually, that includes the 69 because none of those are undrafted free agents. So it includes everyone.
None of the people on the practice squad were undrafted free agents?
So, did I say undrafted free agent? No, so I guess that's not the right phrase. It's a free agent that they went out and signed. Free agents. So those are guys that they just signed that they didn't draft.
Right. Yep.
What is the UFA if you're designated? Is that undrafted free agent?
I think that's unrestricted. I think UDFA is undrafted free agent. UFA is unrestricted free agent.
Okay. So that's the typical free agent, where it's a competition. Other teams can sign them, right? So how many of those guys do you think they
have? I imagine they have some. Like, I think Preston Smith was one of those.
Preston Smith is one. Yep.
So that's one. I'm just going to guess. I'll say they've got four.
They have five.
Ah, shoot.
Okay. Which, I'm looking at how
they've built this
team. I mean, it's all draft. It's all street free agents. Yep. It's practice squad guys.
Right.
So going down, I don't know if there's any rhyme or reason. Is this by position maybe? Okay, we got Jaron Reed, who we don't know yet. He's defensive tackle.
They just picked him up in this offseason, but he didn't play in the preseason.
Right, so we don't know much about him. Preston Smith, you mentioned, that's two. Okay.
Yep.
We have Pat O'Donnell, the punter.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
Right. Three. Adrian Amos is four. Still on the team.
That's right. Sure. I think both O'Donnell and Amos are both former Bears too, I think.
Correct. It's and Sammy Watkins.
Oh, Sammy Watkins. Yeah. Okay. That, well, again, I haven't really seen a lot of those guys, in the preseason, but my gut told me six. The reason I did four is because if Dave's asking this question, it's probably less than I think. I should have gone with five. So close.
If I have time here, I'd be curious. I don't know if I can get to Tampa Bay Buccaneers roster. How many UFAs they have? I would imagine it's quite a few.
Yeah.
The Packers just build their team different.
Or I bet you the Rams would be different too.
Oh, the Rams would be another one. That's exactly right. Yeah.
It's competing philosophies. I would think that if we did an analysis, and by the way, we're not going to do an analysis, but if we did, if we were, you know, younger and more energetic and, you know, all that stuff, and we looked at every team around the league, all 32, I would think that more teams build the way the Packers do than the way, say, the Rams do. That would be my guess. I don't know, but that's just sort of the feeling that I have. I think it was the new management in Chicago. I mean, we're a built through the draft, you know, team, and I think that's more common. Not that every team does it, but I think that's more common than the idea of you know, people signing a lot of free agents. For one thing, a lot of guys just don't get to free agency.
Right. Yeah. So that may be true. I think the Packers, maybe this isn't true, but it feels like they are an extreme, right? I mean, as you see all the free agents when it's that time of season, there was one year we got the Smith brothers and Amos, like it all happened at once. It was like, what is happening? And then we've kind of gone back to more of our style where it's spilled through the draft. And I don't know if every drafted player made the squad, but there were a couple of surprises.
Every drafted player did. Yep.
They did. So I thought it was a little surprise. I didn't think Jonathan Ford.
The Packers got Jonathan Taylor? Fantastic. Where did they
go? Went to the time machine. Jonathan Ford on defensive line. I thought, you know, they had Heflin and Slayton, I thought, played much better. But they want those rookies. And I get that. I mean, and sure enough, those other two guys, is upside maybe better. You know, you don't want to give up on a guy. And then I also thought Rasheed Walker.
Yeah.
I didn't know much about him, but he was a seventh rounder, right?
And former governor of Wisconsin, too. Yeah.
Rasheed Walker?
I'm sorry. Different Walker.
Different Walker. Right. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I was surprised. I heard he had, if I'm remembering this correctly, he's the Penn State guy, that he had some motivation problems, you know, a guy that, you know, they, you know, weren't really sure if he was really committed to the game and all that kind of stuff. And they kept him because, you know, he was a draft choice and they have that cost. And I guess that kind of gives you, depending on where you're picked, the higher up you're picked, the more redshirt years you kind of get from the team, which explains Oren Burks, right? You know, third round pick. Right. So they hung on to him as long as they could. I want to say Rasheed Walker, it was a sixth or a seventh round pick. So he might get a year, you know, kind of, like I said, a freebie redshirt kind of thing, maybe a second. But, you know, by that time, they'll have other shiny new objects that they'll want to keep. And so, you know, it's sort of a, well, you know, we're carrying you this time, but you're going to have to show us something if you want to stick around. Because next year, we're going to, you know, draft another sixth or seventh round offensive lineman, and we're going to keep that guy because he's going to get a red shirt. And if you don't impress us, you know, you'll wind up practice squad, or you'll wind up on somebody else's team, or, you know, you'll wind up working at the car wash.
Right. It says here that Rasheed Walker made the 53 after a strong performance in the preseason finale. So right. I guess maybe there's something there to work with. But
Tom Silverstein puts a lot of stock in how guys play in the last preseason game, because it's kind of an all or nothing deal. And I guess that makes some sense. And I think Walker is one of those guys that maybe benefited from that. But whenever I hear that there's kind of motivation issues, it makes me nervous, because there's been guys, and not just Eddie Lacy, you know, there's been some defensive linemen that they've had the same deal where, you know, they were big and they were good at this, but they didn't really like playing football.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't last long.
Right.
Samori Torre made the team. I thought that was a bit of a surprise. I thought he would easily be sort of a practice squad guy and we would keep Winfrey. I thought, especially as we talked about, you know, this was Aaron Rodgers' guy.
Yeah.
But now I've read the article talking about that apparently Rodgers is being consulted and he was not nearly as upset as he has been in the past. So they're going with the young guy who, you know, played really well against Kansas City. He had a lot of catches in traffic. Yep. So,
we'll see. Again, that's a draft choice, Dave. You know, I mean, you know, you drafted a guy. And so are we going to keep, you know, this shiny new black box? We don't know what's inside exactly, but it just arrived in the mail. We're really excited. And then the one we opened up last year, you know, okay, yeah, we kind of know what that is. And we sort of, you know, put it in the closet, and that would be, you know, Winfrey. And besides, he's got that talk show to fall back on. And then you've got, you know, this new guy, and he's, oh, the possibilities we get. Oh, just wait till we unwrap it. And they'll get, of course, disenchanted with that over time. But still, right now, it's new and exciting.
But I think everything else was not surprising. Four tight ends, I suppose, is another interesting thing. They, you know, I think want to be maybe more of that running team and ball control kind of offense. And, you know, each of these tight ends, there's a few specialists. Tonyan is still hurt, so maybe you're carrying one extra for a little bit longer. But I think they like all four of the guys that they have. Everything else seems to kind of be straightforward. I don't know if there are any other surprises for me. Anything for you?
Yeah, well, I thought maybe what they would do when it came to Mason Crosby, because, you know, you can now, it's very easy now to get THC in Wisconsin, especially when you're close to the Michigan border, you know. And I thought they would give him 4 weeks on PUP to, you know, kind of wash everything out of his system before the drug testing would start for him. And they would go with... I don't have it in front of me. The kicker they used.
Ahmed.
Yes, that guy.
Yeah.
If you believe the reports, you know, he was just consistently good in practice, and he looked, you know, strong in the games. And I thought that, you know, they would give Crosby enough time to make sure he's healthy and ready, because he's like 38 years old. And I was a little bit surprised that they would, you know, he hasn't kicked at all, as far as I know, in practice, because he's on PUP. Is he going to be ready, you know, to play the first game coming off of an injury that was significant enough to put him on the PUP? That did surprise me a little bit. I thought they would give him more time and, you know, bring him back more slowly, given his age and the fact that they seem to have somebody that, you know, seems to be pretty good, pretty competent. Now, that guy also, you know, made it through to the practice squad. Which is great. And so if Crosby's not ready, and whatever injury that he's nursing, I think it's a knee injury, I thought. But whatever it is, if it crops up again, well, they've got an alternative, and they can go back to that. So otherwise, I'm a little surprised, I guess, that the long snapper made it too, because they looked like they were working really hard to replace him.
Yeah.
And they didn't. So maybe they didn't find anybody better, or, you know, he was good enough, but that's a special teams thing again. And the thing I like about, I don't know if you saw the snapper that they have, this guy actually looks like a football player. The dude they had last year at the end of the year was the guy that got bowled over in the playoffs. And, you know, that resulted in, the blocked kick. He looked like, just a guy, he's a regular human being who is really good at throwing a spiral between his legs. You know,
that not a big guy. I can't recall what he looked like.
He kind of looked like you. You know, the 6'2" and whatever you are, 220 or whatever the hell. You know, and this guy didn't look like a football player. And I think they saw that on film. The Niners did, and they took advantage of it. Now this guy Coco, which kind of humorous, but he looks like a dude, and I guess he actually played some line in college, so he's actually a football player that also happens to be good at throwing a spiral between his legs. So that gives me a little more confidence, because there's a guy with some anchor and who knows how to block and won't be a vulnerability, I hope anyway, right, on kicks. So I was glad to see that he made it, because he just looks like a guy that is going to be more stout in that position. Now we'll see, you know, when the lights come on, is he going to be able to execute the operation? Is he going to be able to, you know, get the ball on time to the punter and in a place where the guy can kick it, as opposed to having to jump or, you know, run out to the side and take that extra half second that results in a block kick.
Yeah. Let's hope so. Yeah. I can't lose another game on special teams, although I would say we lost just as much on offense as special teams. But I know the team seems solid. And I guess the one other last observation I have is, it felt like in the Ted Thompson years, is he would stick with the guys he had. And if there was deficiencies in a certain area, he kind of went with it. You know, he would sign guys during the season. I remember there's backfield, defensive backfield guys who, you know, is working at your car wash that you talk about, like the week before, because we didn't have anything else. It feels like Gutekunst is, you know, adjusting from previous seasons, you know, not in a drafting a punter in the third round sort of way that Mike Sherman would do, but like just enough like to say, look, we got to address this. We got to fix it. Let's not go crazy for it. So it feels a little bit like they are doing more of what I would want to do, is like find your weaknesses and shore those up, man. Rather than just draft prospects, you know, guys that you know, could be good in 3 or 4 years. So it feels like, you know, especially at the end here of getting that, even that Rudy Ford, I just feel like that's a change from the Packers with under Ted Thompson, that they would, this is who we got, this is who we're going with, we'll coach him up. And this idea of kind of shoring up your defenses, I think is good. So I feel overall pretty good about the team.
Yeah, I do too, especially if we consider the totality, the 69 as compared to just the 53. Even though they kept between the practice squad and the regular roster a lot of receivers, that doesn't change the fact, you know, that there will not be a Davante Adams on this roster. And the guy that you're kind of looking to right now as your number one receiver is a guy who was an undrafted free agent, you know, a bitter and angry man with the red ass, which I kind of like in my football players, Alan Lazard. You know, it's funny, you know, this is a guy who I believe, maybe this is why he's so bitter and resentful. You know, he was initially cut and signed to the practice squad, and you know, he came up the hard way, let's put it that way. And so he's a hard man. Yeah. He's your number one guy, though. I mean, this is not the team like in the Super Bowl year when they had, you know, really five guys that were, you know, one or two type receivers. Even Donald Driver, who was kind of at the end of the string there, you know, he would probably be, you know, one of your top three. In fact, right now, Donald Driver could probably be one of your top three guys. And so even though the Packers got, you know, most of the guys they wanted, there's a deficiency of talent, at least right now, at some positions. So this is going to be an evolutionary year for the Packers, I will suggest, because they are doing things differently in building the roster. You know, you mentioned the, you know, their willingness to, you know, look for need. You know, we already talked a little bit about the focus on special teams. This is going to be, I think, a little bit different, you know, kind of year. They're probably not going to be quite the passing team they were in the past. They're going to rely, you know, a lot on a running game and defense. I really think, and maybe this is one of my predictions for the season, Dave, that we will look back at the end of this season, which undoubtedly will end in disappointment. most of them do, right? I mean, that's the nature of
the thing. That's a fair statement.
Yeah. We'll look back, though, and say, you know, this was a transitional year. We're kind of moving away from what the Packers have been for the last 30 years with two Hall of Fame quarterbacks and into something different. And I will give management some credit. I think that they are adapting their tactics to fit the new realities of the rules in the NFL and also the realities of the roster. So I'm, in lots of ways, Dave, I'm more interested in this team than I have been in some time, because I think they're trying to do different things with kind of a different philosophy.
Yeah, I have no idea what to expect, say, in the first half against Minnesota. Are they going to be a shutdown defense? Is it going to be, this doesn't look much different on defense. Are they running the ball on second down a lot more than usual? Third and four, they're running. You know, this is definitely a running team. Or is it a lot of, you know, it's third and three and it's empty backfield, shotgun, you know, just like before. Is it a lot of short passing? Are they going to give up on the wide receivers because he doesn't trust him? So it's just going to be a lot of dump offs. Are we going to be surprised? Like, wow, you know, Dobbs and Watson are really electric. You know, they make it. They're a huge difference maker. I have no idea how this is all going to shake out.
This is fun. Going back to our TV analogy, it's sort of like the end of Homeland season 3 when Damian Lewis gets killed. And that's obviously a transition for the show, right? what's going to happen in season four? And I guess this is the same
spoiler.
Deal.
Spoiler.
Yeah, yeah, we killed off Davante Adams at the end of last season. So yeah. so what are we going to do with this season with the Packers? And that does make it more interesting. Now, will it, like Homeland kind of, you know, began to tank at that point? Will this be, you know, where the Packers have a transition to becoming more like the rest of the teams? I mean, right now they're still favored, you know, to win the division and be a playoff team and all that kind of stuff. But is this kind of the signaling of a more even division? And the Packers play the Vikings next week to start the season. Vikings are supposed to be, well, they're going through their own transition, but they're supposed to be, you know, pretty good team. There's a lot of talk that, you know, the Lions are kind of getting it together too a little bit. So, you know, are we going to see a kind of a changing of the guard, not where the Packers become, you know, what the Packers were in the 70s and 80s, but, you know, maybe it becomes a more open type of division where we can't take, you know, 10 wins for granted, that sort of thing. It makes the season a lot more interesting because it signals something different, and something different, not always better, but different. And so it kind of gets your attention in a different way.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, the offense this year. If a team we're playing has a shutdown corner, you know, they would normally be on Devontae. And right. Then if your third and fourth corner are not nearly as good, it's because you just can't have three or four good corners. You would think the strategy would be to exploit them. Last year, exactly. It would be, how do we get the ball to Devontae against their best?
That's right.
Now, I don't know. I mean, we've got five guys tied for first. Like, why wouldn't you attack the third and fourth and just let Alan Lazard, if he's the number one, just run around all day being covered by, you know, some all-pro?
Or
never
blocking,
throw to him,
which is what he's best at.
yeah, block it. That's right. So I that's why I'm wondering, you know, is it going to be more dynamic passing game in a way? I mean, we complained when it was just forcing into Devontae. And it was great when you played a team that had terrible corners all the way around. Well, he ate you alive. But when you couldn't get it to him, it was a problem. But now, you know, if Lazard is being covered by a really great guy, what is it? Who's their number two going to cover, Watkins or Cobb? You know, does that mean Dobbs is open? It'll be really interesting, and I'll be interested to see how Rodgers plays. You know, is he manage the game quarterback? Can he flip to that? Or is he, you know, going to try to be, I throw it to the spot you're supposed to be, I'll complain as I walk to the sidelines. You know, is he going to be that guy? It is. It's going to be interesting. I'm excited about it, too. Although I worry that within 10 minutes of the game, I'll realize we've made a huge mistake.
Well, but it's, again, first game, you remember what happened last year.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, against New Orleans. You just, you know, and then from that point on, they went surprise 13-3 after they lost that first game. I don't know what they're going to get. They're playing in that shitty venue up, you know, I mean, it's actually a beautiful venue, but it's a place that is really tilted. It's really a home field advantage for the Vikings, and that's why I hate it when the Packers play there.
Yeah.
So we'll talk in a minute about the schedule. But before we leave roster stuff, I want to go through there's a good article this week about where some former Packers have landed and where they are. And I was surprised some of these guys are still playing. And I'll just go through some of these quickly. Now, Casey Hayward is still playing. He's in Atlanta now.
Huh.
Which, like, yeah, exactly my reaction. Huh. Okay, yeah. Vince Beagle is still playing. He's Baltimore, but he's on the injured list. Baltimore, this was shocking me. In Baltimore's camp, they had Brent Huntley is still kicking really? Around. He got cut, but he was in camp with the Ravens this year. Micah Hyde is sixth season now with the Bills. And this surprised me. You know that Jake Kumerow is entering his third year with the Bills?
I had
no idea. Yeah, it kind of surprised me as well. I think most of us know Lucas Patrick is now with the Bears. Let's see. Oh, and Equanimeous St. Brown also with the Bears. Joe Thomas, practice squad for Chicago. Last year's punter for the Packers, Corey Bohorquez, you might remember him, he of the big leg but difficulty kicking in the elements, now with the Browns. You know, he made the roster with the Browns. Billy Turner in Denver, not really a surprise, given the coaching change that they made there. I think Billy Turner might have also played with Denver before he was with the Packers. And I think their THC laws probably were a real attraction for Billy Turner also winding up there.
Maybe.
Looking through, well, of course, we know Jamal Williams still with Detroit. Mm-hmm. Too bad. You remember Christian Kirksey?
Vaguely. Linebacker?
Yeah. Well, he's still out there, still kicking around. He's with the Texans. So that was kind of a surprise. Isaac Yadim from last year, I think he's the guy was it Josh Jackson, I think, that got traded. And it was like, it was the trade of two frustrating second round picks. And, you know, I think both teams were hoping, both the Giants and the Packers were hoping that, well, you know, maybe a change of scenery. Well, he did not work out in Green Bay. And it turns out it didn't work out great for him with Houston either, as he wound up getting cut for them. Dennis Kelly, Packers had him last year. He's going to be blocking for Jonathan Taylor this year, the way it looks. Will Redman is also still around. In fact, he made the practice squad for the Colts. I thought, man, what? Is he still in the league? Yeah, I guess he is. Let me see here. Other names. Oh, of course, our buddy, MVS. You know, he's winding up in Kansas City. Yeah. Now, did you see him play? Did he play?
No.
Okay.
I don't think he played. No. And I have not heard anything about from my son-in-law, who's a big Kansas City fan. I never heard. I think he's hopeful. You know, we got MVS. And I think, yeah, you've got MVS.
well, you know, but it's one of those deals where he may have, you know, learned all the hard lessons in Green Bay, and we suffered through the development, and he's maybe going to be more of a finished product there and a good player.
Maybe.
I mean, that does happen, you know, especially with a guy who was more of a project. Kyler Fackrell was in.
Wow.
Yeah, he was in camp with the Raiders, and he got released. He suffered a season-ending injury, so he got released. Corey Linsley remains with the Chargers. And this really surprised me. J.K. Scott is going to be the punter, apparently, for the Chargers.
Is that right? Wow.
Yeah, I thought he was done. But okay, he's still out there. Kind of scrolling through some of these others. There's a lot of former Badgers. Of course, we know about Za'Darius Smith with the Vikings. Also, your good buddy, Chandon Sullivan, with the Vikings. I was kind of surprised that he latched on. I don't know if you remember Lawrence Guy. He was a seventh-round pick for the Packers, but he never played. And he was one of those guys they hung on to, but he's now entering his 12th year in the league and his fifth with the Patriots. I mean, that's a surprise that guy, you know, a seventh-round pick, he's made a hell of a career for himself. Ty Montgomery, Ty Montgomery, also with the Patriots. I thought his career was done, but he's still out there. Taysom Hill, everyone's, Mr. August a couple of years ago, and then they catch a guy with the Saints. Well, still with the Saints, but he's going to play tight end this year.
That guy, yeah, reinvents himself every year.
Well, I think in order to, you know, hang on, I think that's what you have to do, you know. Blake Martinez. Remember Blake Martinez, the guy really good at making
the
tackles?
Giants?
Yeah.
So it's Giants?
He made the roster. Now this is the kind of league it is, right? He made the 53 for the Giants and entering his third year, and then he was released. Wow. Okay.
Nice.
So yeah. Hey, we have good news and bad news. You made the 53. Oh, and you're cut.
Yeah. Right.
Why would you do that? Okay. Whatever. You know, looking also, now this was not one that just like a blast from the past name. But the Eagles, Richard Rodgers, was in their camp, and he was wind up being one of their final cuts. And I thought, man, you know, guy could do Broadway plays, and he also could catch a Hail Mary pass in Detroit, and you know, still kicking around the league. And I just hadn't heard of him. We were talking before about defensive linemen that just, you know, kind of bust. And Montrevious Adams, you know, yeah, 4 years with the Packers. They gave him a lot of slack because he was, I think he was a third round pick. But, you know, he made the final roster with the Steelers. So, you know, he's
interesting.
Yeah. He's still out there. Sadly, another third round pick, Jace Sternberger. He did get cut, though, by the Steelers. Oren Burks, we talked about him a minute ago, and yeah, he made the roster in San Francisco.
Okay.
So, you know, props, dude, I guess, you know.
I'll come back to bite us, I bet.
Well, you know, that does seem to happen, doesn't it? we were talking about Josh Jones earlier, but, you know, he's second season with Seattle. You know, he's still out there, still drawing an NFL paycheck. So I guess, you know, right, props to him. So anyway, I thought that was interesting. The number of guys that when they kind of get out of my line of vision, when they're no longer Packers, I like, you know, that guy's dead to me. Yeah. And actually, he's very much alive and he's still playing. and some of these guys, you know, have gotten cut, but a lot of them are still around, and you know, they're still happening. It would be watching games, and you know, like what happened when I watched the first preseason game, Oren Burks is in San Francisco. What, you know, and he made the roster. So congratulations, I suppose, you know. Yeah, let's look at the schedule, Dave.
Well, can we take a break before we get into the betting lines of the schedule?
No, I don't think so. No, of course we can take a break.
Right.
Well, let's take a break, and we will preview what's coming up. As Dave mentioned, we're going to go through the schedule. We will do the betting lines, maybe work in a little bit of pop culture. And even though we haven't had any real games yet, there is good news in that we have decided, after a meeting of the board, to open up, you know, the chance for people to give us money. yeah, you know, we haven't really talked about that much in the preseason, because preseason, but now we're on the cusp of the regular season starting this week coming up, which means that it's time for you to look at your budget and realize, how much money can I give Chris and Dave this season? You know, and if you come to that decision, there are a couple of ways. You know, we have a Patreon. You can go to us, and we would very much like that. And you give a couple dollars a month. In fact, I do that with some podcasts I listen to, and you can do that via Patreon, or you can go to PayPal. And it's PackersTherapy@yahoo.com, and chip off a couple of bucks to kind of seed the season going forward. So check it out. Do us a solid. Thanks to everybody that's been contributors in the past. We very much appreciate that. So we're going to take a break. Probably got to refill our glasses. And we'll be all hydrated and ready to come up with more Packers Therapy, more Chris and Dave, in just a second.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field?
Yeah.
If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King.
Oh, yeah.
Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay.
Oh, yeah.
Just go to their website.
Do it.
TheTicketKing.com. Again, that's TheTicketKing.com.
Chris and Dave back. We told you it'd just be a second, and it was. Huh. How about that? Back with the second half of the final preseason edition of Packers Therapy. Let's go through the schedule as promised. And of course, we start out right away with the hated Minnesota Vikings and that hated horn playing at US Bank Stadium.
And pumped in crowd music.
Yeah, I know. They know all the tricks, don't they? Yeah. I'm nervous about this one, Dave. I will be honest. I would imagine you are too, but what do you think?
Yeah, I have this as a loss. I think it's going to take them a little bit of time to, you know, get everything together on offense. So I can see the defense keeping us in the game, but I feel like offensively, there's going to be some mistake, a turnover, or something that's going to take us down. I expect this will be a close, very frustrating loss. which again, it's just one game to kick off the season, but a tough start to be in Minnesota.
Yeah, I agree. What it makes me exceptionally nervous is a motivated Za'Darius Smith. I mean, we've seen what the guy can do when he's motivated. He's a really good player. I don't know that he was motivated most of last year. I mean, he had a, quote, injury that seemed to crop up right after he wasn't named defensive captain. And he played a few snaps in the opener and then played a few more snaps in the playoff game. And he was good when he was on the field, but it was a lot in between that he wasn't. But I think he will be highly motivated. It's a road game. I don't know that it's going to be that close. I'm a little bit concerned. I don't know who the Packers are going to be playing at tackle. You know, will Elgton Jenkins be ready? You know, will David Bakhtiari be ready? And if they're not, you know, you're going to have guys who are trying to block Za'Darius Smith who, you know, aren't necessarily that good. I like Josh Nyman, but I don't know that I would, you know, and it's also not the side that Smith is necessarily going to be on. So I don't know. Talking Royce Newman at right tackle, I don't like that matchup. So I think it's going to be a Vikings win, and I'm not even sure it's going to be that close.
It looks like Green Bay's favorite to win. I don't see the spread. Yeah. But.
Well, I know Vikings. I mean, that's a, you know, I mean, they got a new coach, and you don't really know what things are going to look like there either. And they may have their own adjustment problems, but just the things that I know from, you know, 30,000 feet. I don't know. I looking at the home field there is so important. Yeah. And that's another reason why I think it'd be a Vikings win.
Well, it'd be nice to quiet the crowd down by just jamming it down their throats with the run game, you know, just and impose your will on them that way rather than interception, incomplete passes, you know, stuff like
exactly.
that, you know,
sacks.
Goals.
Yeah.
It's exactly right. Hold the ball too long, kind of a game. Which could very well happen as he's waiting and not trusting his receivers. We could end up having a ton of sacks by Minnesota in this game. So I'm nervous about it, but I feel like the Vikings will peter out as the season goes along. But like they seem like they feed on emotion, and I think it's enough to get them the first win.
Yeah, they got some good receivers there too. I mean, it's going to be intriguing because I really don't know what to expect either way. But it is a 325. You know, game. So it's one of the featured games. I'm looking forward to it because I don't know what to expect. That's kind of the fun, right? You know,
that's right.
The second game, Chicago, that looks to me like it'd probably be a win. I think the Bears probably are improving, but you know, they've got their own, you know, transitions that they're dealing with there. So I think we're in agreement there. That looks like a win, right?
Yep. Win.
Okay. Are you keeping track of these? By the way?
I am. Yep.
Okay. Then they go to Tampa Bay to play the Buccaneers. And I know this has been a team that, you know, you got Brady, he's like taking time off during training camp. I guess he got the coach fired right in the off season.
Some injuries happening.
Yeah. I'm not sure. No, if it was at Green Bay as opposed to Tampa Bay, I'd probably lean the Packers that way. But I probably will lean Tampa Bay here just because it's a road game and it's Tom Brady, you know?
Well, I'm going to say it's a win, especially if we lose against Minnesota, because I feel like, you know, they'll lose that game, learn some things, play Chicago, learn some more. And when they get to Tampa Bay, the motivation factor to play Brady, I think will be really high. And you're right. I think Tampa's is got some question marks. So I'm going to give Green Bay a win there.
Yeah. But it's end of September in Tampa, you know, that makes it warm and humid. I don't know. I'm leaning Tampa Bay, not because I think that, you know, they're a juggernaut or something like that. I just think some of these factors, time of the year, you know, I just don't feel good about that one.
All right.
I don't necessarily feel a lot better about the next game because it's the Patriots, but it's at Lambeau. And I kind of think the Patriots, while they're a good team, I think they can be had. And by that time, I think the Packers should be rounding into form. I'm actually going to put that one down as a win.
Yeah, I will too. I don't know if they've got their quarterback situation. All I read from them is they're actually happy with their offense. So it's, I feel like it's the way they're phrasing these articles seems like there must be something wrong with the offense. So I think the Packers at home again, and I think you're going to always be motivated to play the Patriots. So I think they win that game.
Yeah. Well, then they go across the pond to play at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. You will be there.
I will.
We're hoping that we'll have a good group of people doing a meetup. I think there was an email this morning about that. Do you want to talk a bit about
that? So Rob Gardner, you reached out, and yes, so we definitely want to get people together. I'm sort of trying to work that through with the people on the ground in London to see where would be a good place to meet. So that is being contemplated. Hopefully we can give some more details in weeks to come.
So keep that in mind, everybody, if you live overseas or if you live in the U.S., but you have the means and the wherewithal to go to that game. Dave is going to be there, and a number of OG Packers Therapy fans will be in attendance. So that sounds like a jolly time for all involved. Playing the Giants, even though it's this weirdness of having to travel overseas, and I do think that does affect things, but Giants got to travel too, and I don't think they're as good of a team, so I would imagine you guys are going to see a win over there.
Yep, that's what I have too. I didn't realize that it's a home game for the Packers, so they did send them to London, and they lost a home game, which I thought if they would make Green Bay play, it would be an away game, but apparently we'll be at home in London, and so, yep, I've got a win there for sure.
So you got to bring your green... Got to bring your green jersey, everybody, not the white ones.
All right.
Bring the green ones.
Will do.
Then they play the other New York or the other New Jersey team. They will play the Jets at Lambeau. I have to believe that's going to be a win, too.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that travel could be an issue coming back. Maybe that's a trap game a little bit. But at home, that helps. It's not a short week or anything like that. And I think the Jets, I've not heard much. I like their coach, I thought, was a really good defensive coordinator for San Francisco. And
yes.
But I think they lost their quarterback. And yeah, I'm going to go with, I don't know if that's true. Was it the Jets that lost? Is it Darnold that got hurt? I don't know who's there.
Sam Darnold, I think he did. Yeah, that sounds right to me.
So I'm going to say win there.
I want to say, isn't the coach for the Jets, isn't like LaFleur's best friend or something
right.
like that? And yeah, because they went back to, they coached at Central Michigan together, I guess. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. So I think that's a win.
Then, but what I don't like about that is I think that when teams go overseas, they should, you know, have like a mini buy or something in there. But as it is, it's just a regular road game for the Packers. It's 1 week, you know, that's it.
Yep.
Sunday to Sunday. The next week, they play the Washington football team, which is now called, for some reason, the Commanders, which I guess they just phoned that one in, you know, whatever. We need to have a name of some kind. So anyway, they do play the Commandos at FedEx. Got to imagine that's a win. But, you know, now we start, you know, it's week after week after week with a overseas trip in there. These are all winnable games. I'm going to put it down as a win, but you wonder if, you know, fatigue is going to start setting in here.
Yeah. Well, it can't be a trap game at that point. They've been back for 2 weeks now.
And right, yeah,
they're
exactly.
going to, although, you know, in previous years where the Packers had a good team, they've lost in Washington. Didn't they lose in 2010 in Washington? Wasn't there?
Yes.
I feel like, they may have a bad streak of playing in Washington. So, you know, that one could be iffy. But I just, you know, given what I think the Packers are, I think that's a win.
I think so too. The next one's a loss though, playing, I think against one of the really good teams in the league, against the Bills of Buffalo at Highmark Stadium is what they call that now. Okay.
Oh boy. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But they got a nice team, you know, great quarterback, Micah Hyde. So, I think that's a loss.
I do too. I just got to have some losses somewhere. And Buffalo is, in terms of, you know, expectations, probably the Buffalo is as high as anybody. And they got to be very motivated to play Rodgers, right?
Sure.
What's his
everybody
name?
Everybody is.
Lost to Rodgers in that golf, that two-on-two golf tournament. So
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen, yeah, he lost. So I think they will not. This will not be a trap game for them. But I bet you it's a close game. You know, every once in a while the Packers play, you know, like the Chiefs, and they're really good. It's sort of at that place, and you don't depend on that game because you figure that's a good team. Maybe it's a Super Bowl potential, but you don't get too bent out of shape. And I think that's a game though. I think that'll be a tight one, but I think they're going to lose.
Yeah, I do too. Then the next game is interesting to me for lots of reasons. It's on the road at the Lions. And that's, you know, back-to-back road games against
back-to-back.
It seems to be, I think three in a row.
Three
oh, my God. Well, that's – yeah, and that's back-to-back-to-back following the 1 week at home, but then they have just come back from overseas. So it's four road games in 5 weeks. Now, some of these are winnable games, but, again, you know, you wonder how that's going to impact them, you know, all the travel. Now, this travel is short. It's, you know, Detroit. So shouldn't be a huge factor, but they just don't seem to play well at Detroit. And Detroit's an improving team. I'm going to put it down as a win, but you know, I don't think this is a layup.
All right. I think it's a win too. I just, yeah. Until the lines show me. And actually I watch a little bit of Hard Knocks right now.
Oh, good.
And their coaching staff is filled with ex football player lunkheads. You know, yeah. It's motivational stuff that really doesn't do any good, you know, just trying to rah-rah this, I'm sure they have X's and O's guys and that they're competent at that. But at the heart that these are try hard football coach guys. And they do not give me confidence. I want my head coaches to be brilliant, not can run through a wall. I mean, they should have this guy doing up downs with the players. That's great. Maybe that motivates them. But, you know, when you got to come up with a play, that's not going to help you. So I was not impressed with what the Lions is showing. Of course, you know, there's some feel good stories in there, and Jamal Williams is just awesome.
Yeah, he's the best. He's a great guy.
There's a point where they show him kind of huddling up the guys after a bad practice, and he kind of gave a quick motivational speech before their high fives or their, you know, team kind of ended. And he cried. You know, he was so emotional about you know, having such a bad season last year and losing so many games. But I don't have the confidence. I think that's a win for the Packers. So I guess they don't play the Lions until last game. I think they're going to sweep them this year.
You know, it's an interesting kind of counter building technique that the Lions are using in terms of their coaching staff. Most coaches are, you know, more on the cerebral side, the analytical side of things. That is how the league has gone in the past 10-15 years. The Lions have gone kind of the opposite way, and it will be interesting. You know, it's these people that, you know, run to where other people aren't. It makes you wonder, well, you know, have they found something that's been neglected? You know, have they spotted a market inefficiency, that sort of thing? I don't know. I don't think so, but it's interesting because they're building their coaching staff in a way that others aren't.
Yeah, that's true. Although they're building it the way the teams used to not that long ago and realized that smart guys are better.
Well, that's what I think too, but yep. You know, okay. Next week, Dallas then. Now that's the long awaited return of Mike McCarthy to Lambeau Field. That should be interesting.
Yeah.
Mac will be able to sleep in his own bed, I guess. Now he probably won't do that, but I think they still have their place there.
Do they?
I think so. Well, cause his wife's from Green Bay. So I think that is probably where they're going to wind up ultimately. So
I think it'll be awkward when he runs into his daughter's basketball ref at the grocery store. For those who don't know that story, he was fired, he was at, wasn't it his daughter's basketball game, and
I thought it was a son, but okay, whatever. Maybe. It was one of the kids, yeah.
Like a college age ref at high school games got kicked out.
And I guess he forgot that you know that wasn't you know Ed Hockley that he was
right.
Just taking on there. Yeah. Okay. We didn't say win or loss against the Cowboys at Lambeau.
I'll say win just because I will take the smart guy LaFleur over Mike McCarthy. So I'll take a win there.
Yeah, I think that's a win too. I think McCarthy is going to be the latest in a series of failed Cowboy coaches.
Yeah.
Then we got the Flaming Tea of the Tennessee Titans. That's also at Lambeau Field. Tennessee, pretty good. I think they had a strong finish last year. I want to say, did they have a playoff upset? I think they did. I can't recall for sure, but they were a halfway decent team last year, as I recall.
Yeah, did they get the bye? I want to say. I mean, I think they like came on really strong.
You know, maybe it was the second bye or something like that. Yeah, but anyway,
I'm saying they were a wild card.
Okay. And they were pretty good, though. At least I think they picked up momentum as the season went on. So that's not going to be easy, but it's at Lambeau. By that time, God, week 11, I hope the Packers have kind of worked out their stuff. I think increasingly, Dave, it's going to be a question of how the injuries impact the defense. And this is where I think the Packers are going to be more vulnerable, not because their starters are good on defense. I think they're kind of a really good defense this year until guys start getting hurt, and inevitably they will. It's the National Football League. And because a lot of the guys who are backups, there's a talent fall off, but also this is where your focus on special teams might really come into play, because some of those guys who are backups are there because they're special teams players. And, you know, if you don't have a Adrian Amos or Darnell Savage, then you're going to be, you know, facing some difficulties. And at this point in the season, it will be interesting to see, but I'm going to put it down as a win. Yeah. It's Lambeau. It's a team that they should be able to beat, but you know, a lot will depend. Again, it's not who you play, it's when you play them. And so we'll see. Now, the Titans could be a mess by that time too. It could be an easy game because they're not ready to play for whatever reason. As we get into, now we're at the end of November here, week 12, going to Philly to play the Eagles. Now, what's the situation?
Oh, let me back up Tennessee. Yeah. I'll say win as well, but they were actually the number one seed last year. They were not a wild card. They went 12-5, I believe. So they and Green Bay were the two top seeds last year, and they, like Green Bay, they lost to Cincinnati 19-16.
That was it. Yeah. That was a great game. That was the one where Jose Burrow, the quarterback for Cincinnati, I guess it's actually Joe Burrow, but I like to think he's a swarthy Latin man. Anyway, that was a terrific game, but I didn't get the vibe from Tennessee that they were really as good as a top seed should be. I think they're a good team, but yeah, 12-5, you know, they're good, but I don't think they were great last year.
Yeah, well, I mean, they won a lot of games and they snuck it through. I don't know if their schedule is as hard as like a Kansas City, who had a pretty tough division and whatnot. But it's interesting. It's a rematch of the top seeded teams from last year, and yet I don't see that as being like the marquee game for this team. Mm-hmm. But I also think too, once then the Titans were also very good record. Derrick Henry, over people, came to Green Bay, and like AJ Dillon had the game of his life. It's like we had their number at one time in the past, so I'm going to give a win to that game as well.
Then they go to Philadelphia to play the Eagles, and I'm trying to think of the Eagles situation. What's their? I mean, it's going to be a road game. Philadelphia traditionally okay, but nothing stands out with them for me. What's your take on that one, Dave?
Yeah, I don't follow. I've got a buddy that's an Eagles fan, but I know they signed like a bunch of free agents. I think they're high in this team, and I gotta have some losses somewhere on this chart. I feel like that's a game. If you just beat Dallas and Tennessee, could you go to Philly? And Philly's a weird place.
It's a hard place to play. Yep.
Yeah, I just wonder if that is a game that they play Chicago the next week. I just wonder if that's a game that they give up. So I'm going to give a loss to at Philly. I feel like this is an unknown team, and I don't know if they have a brand new coach. I know they had Doug Peterson, and maybe. Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna say loss, just because there's got to be a loss in here somewhere.
Yeah, that makes sense to me too. I don't like the games at Philly. I still have the horrible flashbacks to the end of the 2003, season.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna put it down as a loss as well, because they haven't had a bye week yet. They won't have that till week 14. So they've done a lot of traveling in here. I mean, road game, tough venue. Yeah, that does kind of have the feel of a loss. The following week, and maybe I'm underestimating the Bears, but they have to go to Soldier Field. They got to play Chicago. I think Justin Fields is going to be getting better. I think he's an improving guy. I think he's, going to work out a lot better than the previous guy they had. So I think they're going to beat the Bears. But Chicago, I don't want to write them off, but they're another team in transition. Packers are better than them. And I think they've had as I recall, haven't they had difficulty coming out of the bye, not going into the bye? So I think they'll be okay beating the Bears before their bye week. What do you think?
Okay. Yeah, I do too. This is where we're in December, you know, outside. This is where the run game should make a difference. You don't have to rely on Rodgers to win this game. I think you should be able to do it with him playing pretty safe. Plus, this is his return of the I Own You game from last year. So I just want to get Rodgers out of there alive. So you can do that by, I think, not having him hold on to the ball very long. So I think if they are going to be this defense running team, then they should be able to take the Bears in December easily.
Well, they have a bye, and then they come back in the middle of December. That's a weird time to have that bye. I think it would be a lot better to have that bye a couple weeks beforehand. But week 15 against the Rams, it's at Lambeau. It's nighttime in the middle of December at Lambeau Field. Yeah. So you think that would be the Packers' favorite. But, you know, having the home field and when the weather's favorable, or when it's Packer weather, hasn't really worked out well for them in recent years. And the Rams, you know, should be a good team. I mean, they're coming off a Super Bowl, right? So I think, and I hate to say this, it's Lambeau Field, but they have a tradition of coming off byes badly. I think they're going to lose that game against the Rams.
So I disagree on this one a lot. I think they're coming off a bye. I don't think they'll be sleepy because it's the Super Bowl champs. They have an older team, and so at the end of the season, there are going to be a lot of injuries, I think, on this Rams team, right? Mm. And they are coming from L.A. to play in December,
in
the middle of the night, right?
It's time zones.
Well, there's the time zones and the weather. Yeah. I think the Rams have no interest in winning this game, and I think the Packers will have high motivation. So I think this is a, you know, where we lost to Philly, we get back one here against the Rams.
All right. Well, I hope you're right, but I don't like the way this is setting up, but you do make a good point. They've gone with a veteran team, and you know, as you get down to the end of a long season, how are those veterans going to hold up? So that's actually an interesting point, but I'm still going to go with the Rams. When they go to Miami the following week, and that they play, I mean, what says Merry Christmas more than playing at Miami? So on Christmas Day, Packers will play at the Dolphins. And I'm going to put that one down as a win. I don't think the Dolphins have a very good team. That's part of it. They might be playing out the string at that point. And so, yeah, I'm going to put that down as a win.
Well, you know, the quarterback, Tua, I guess, is that.
Yes,
and they now have Tariq Hill from the Kansas City Chiefs. They, you know, their offense could be a little bit more explosive. I have this as a loss. So I feel like this is the game the Packers don't match up for. They're on the road in warm weather now, as they're used to being in cold weather. You know, then you get all the cramps and everything like that. I feel like this is one of those games that kind of sneaks up on you and they lose. So I'm going to put that one down as a loss.
Well, you see, I think they do better in warmer weather. And at the end of the season in particular, you know, when it's so hard to play in Green Bay, I think this is a game where Rodgers does well. So I'm going to put that one down as a win. Following week, though, they come back on New Year's Day, which is interesting, both Christmas Day and New Year's Day games. They got the Vikings, though, on New Year's Day at Lambeau Field. And it's always interesting when you play the Vikings late in the season, but it's a dome team. I don't know if the Vikings will be playing for anything at that point, and that's what's hard to know. If the Vikings are playing for something, they might win. But I would think at home in January, assuming that Aaron Rodgers isn't going the way of Brett Favre when it comes to cold weather, I think that's probably a win, but it's really going to depend on the circumstances. If Green Bay's locked a playoff spot up and the Vikings are competing hard for one, the Vikings could win, but I think that's a Packer win.
Yeah, I do too. I don't think the Packers will wrap up. Although according to my win total here, there's a very good chance they're the one seed in the NFC. So it's possible they could rest guys, but I don't think you rest guys 2 weeks before. So I think they play this out, especially against the Vikings. I think that's a win.
I think where you're resting guys is in week 18. You're playing the Lions.
Right.
Again, it's a home game. Last year they played the Lions to end, and what they did is they basically phoned that game in. As I recall, and the Lions were highly motivated They played very hard and they won, and Jordan Love didn't look so great. And I don't know what the Lions could be fighting for a playoff spot at that point too. And hell, as far as we know, the Packers might, maybe things have gone wrong earlier in the season. They've lost Rodgers for a couple of games, so they're fighting for their playoff lives. But under normal circumstances, and you know what we're saying is that the Packers have locked up a playoff spot and Lions aren't very good. I know the Lions have come into Lambeau and won. We've seen a couple of those games.
Yes,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately. But it is January. It should be a Packer win. I'm gonna put it down that way, but I could certainly see it going the other way based on the circumstances at the time of the season. So what do you got?
So I'm gonna say loss here just because I feel like the Packers are gonna be resting everyone at this point. And this is where your football coach, motivational speaker type guy comes in. Like, you know, the Lions who are out of the playoffs, can he rah-rah his team, you know, to a good effort against the Packers? I think they can. So I think they show off the Packers, rest everybody. And so this ends up being a loss, but we don't care.
Yeah, that's what happened last year, I think, is that they were just kind of, they out-motivated the Packers because the Packers really didn't have anything to be motivated about. I mean, they did play the starters the first half. David Bakhtiari, that was the end for him.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's hard to know, but the Packers should be able to beat the Lions at home. I have a hard time putting that one down as a loss, even though it could certainly go that way. So what do you got, Dave? What did we land on?
I am at 12-5. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, you're at 12-5 as well.
All right.
1, 2.
You know, and that sounds. If I was to guess, just on kind of how I feel about the Packers, I probably would have said 11-6. So 12-5. Yeah. I mean, that's if they don't have debilitating injuries, especially on defense, if they're able to run the ball, if they're able to get their offensive line in shape, meaning that getting the tackles back. 12-5 doesn't sound outrageous to me, but the schedule, the middle of the schedule, does concern me. Those four road games in 5 weeks, with one of them being a trip to the UK, that could really impact the season. So we'll have to wait and see how it plays out.
Well, I just saw an article from The Athletic where they use their quantitative analysis to come up with how many wins for each team. And so they have number one Buffalo Bills with a win total of 11.6. And then second is Green Bay at 11.4. So our 12-5 is right there.
Okay.
The commentary from Matt Schneidman is the Packers have won 13 games in each of the past three seasons, but will there be a regression at some point? Maybe a small one, but nothing significant. They talk about the receiving core, but they still have an MVP quarterback. He's going to go with 12 wins for the Packers, so they'll take the over.
Okay. That seems to be a popular choice. Now, listeners to Packers Therapy, who are obviously discriminating and astute on such matters, if you have opinions, tweet at us at Packers Therapy. If you want to send us an email, don't make it a long one. So let us know what you think about the coming season. But sounds like Dave and I are in lockstep at 12-5.
All right.
So betting lines.
Before we do that, you had mentioned PayPal, and we got a gift already this week. I just sent it to your email. Oh, I forgot to forward it to you. Do you see in your email there?
Well, let me go to my email here. This is great podcasting. Okay, let me see here. Oh yes, here it is. Oh, okay. It's our man. It's Pastor Logan. Thank you, my friend. Let me see. He says, I was cheered to see new episodes show up in Overcast as the preseason began. Yes, Overcast, one of the apps one can use, and a good one, by the way. He says, I've been listening since 07.
My goodness.
I did not know that. Okay. And your podcast is practically as big a part of following the Packers for me as watching the games. In fact, there are times when I can't see a game, but of course I listen to the podcast nonetheless. Anyway, I appreciate the time you put into it, and I'm grateful that you welcome us into your conversation each week. Thank you both. Pastor Logan, doing literally doing God's work in Denver with a street ministry. Very good man indeed. So we have a good contingent of men of the cloth.
Good people.
That follow us. Of course, another regular contributor. No, I can tell you, pastors like Pastor Kevin and Pastor do not get paid a ton of money, but yet, Logan went to PayPal, and I want to think he dug into the.
The offering plate? Is that what you're insinuating?
I think not Logan. He's
directly,
no,
maybe.
No, not certainly not Kevin. My God. No. So anyway, thank you, Logan. We do appreciate that. And others, if you're so motivated, even if you haven't been listening since 07, if you've been listening since, I don't know, 7 o'clock this morning, whatever, we will be glad to receive your alms. It's PackersTherapy@yahoo.com, and Logan gave via PayPal, or you can go to Patreon if you like. All right, my friend, is it betting lines time?
It is betting lines time. We don't have betting lines from last week, so we'll just go ahead into this week. Right. And we did get confirmation that Mike Miller is back on the squad. He's not on the Packers squad. He is on the final four roster.
Well, with Nick, yeah.
That's right. So we're happy to have both Nick and Mike back. So, all right, Mike, we're ready for our betting lines. Number one, you ready, Chris?
Oh, I was born ready, Dave.
Aaron Rodgers quarterback rating.
Yeah, this is a classic, and you kind of have to start out that way. But it is so hard to peg that. There's no Devontae Adams is going to be getting, 13 targets. I mean, that's not going to happen. I wonder if he'll feel pass 13 times. I mean, this may be the kind of game that Bart Starr would be comfortable in.
We will be out of our minds if that happens next week.
It's just not that kind of game anymore. In fact, a betting line, or maybe this is one that's coming up, but a betting line would be over and under on number of attempts. I really think they're going to be transitioning to a run first defensive type team, but I still think that they're going to pass the ball more than, 22 times probably. Rodgers, we didn't see him at all in the preseason. The reports, that he's apparently still Aaron Rodgers, but he's going to miss some throws because he's not on the same page with these guys. So I'm not going to put it, up there very high. But it is Aaron Rodgers. He's not going to throw a ton of interceptions. So let's put his passer rating at 91. 91.3.
I was going to say, Chris is going to say 91. And you said, anyway, we are done this way too long.
This is our 18th season, and we can pretty much complete each other's sentences. So, yeah.
I was going to take the under because I thought same reason that you mentioned, but I think 91 is too low. So I'll take the over. I don't think he gets to 100, but I don't think he has a wonderful passing day. Maybe one touchdown, maybe a lot of short passes kind of thing. Maybe you don't get to 90s if that's what happens, but I'm going to take the over. I'm going to take the over.
A lot of bubble screens.
I think so.
Yeah.
Number two, who will be the leading receiver by catches?
Oh, God. Okay, I'm going to go Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones is a very good pick. I should have thought this through myself. I'm tempted to say Dylan. would I say Lazard? Man, that is, my option. Well, I think Jones is really good.
You can still do it if you want. I mean, it's because I, jumped in there.
I'll say Aaron Jones too.
Okay.
I think that's the right call because I just do not know which wide receiver. I should have made that which wide receiver will have the most touches.
Oh,
but maybe
God,
I'll fix that next week.
Yeah, that's hard.
Well, then so we get to number three. Who has the most carries?
Well, I'm still going to go with Aaron Jones.
You're going to go to Jones. I will go Dylan for me. I think he'll get more carries, and Jones will be more of the pass catcher. So I'm going to say Dylan and just make it different. Okay, number four, how many interceptions will Green Bay have given Jair is back and they've got all three guys ready to go? Cousins can throw one up once in a while. Do you think they get any interceptions?
Well, it's the first game for them, too. I don't know how much they've played their guys in the preseason, but Packers got three good corners. So I'm going to say Yeah. Do you want to put a number on that, an over-under number on that?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I do. That's how it works.
Well, 0.5.
Okay. Yep. Well, I'll take the over. So basically, are they get one or not is what you're, is the question.
Right. Yep. Yep.
All right. Number five. So this is a little bit of math. So Za'Darius Smith, if you were to, for every tackle he has, you get a point. If he gets a sack, you get 2 points. How many points do you think Za'Darius Smith will have?
So for every tackle is 1 point and every sack is two?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Let's see. I think he's got a couple sacks. And, you know, Now, does the tackle of the quarterback as a sack, does that also count then as a tackle?
No, it's one or the other. So if he makes a tackle on Rodgers behind the line of scrimmage,
it only counts as a sack, not as a sack for two and a tackle for one. Oh, okay.
Right.
So I think, so in other words, how many tackles will he make beyond the two sacks I think he's going to get?
Yes.
And I think he'll be good for another three probably. So that would be a total of seven. And I'm going to set the line though at 7.5.
7.5. Okay. I will take I'm going to take the under. On that. Okay. Number six, how many total yards for Justin Jefferson?
Boy, good player. He was a rookie last year, first round pick. But he was really good out of the box. I think this year he's going to be even better. They're number one guy. Now we want receptions here, correct?
Or yardage. Correct. Okay. Well, we'll say total yardage. So maybe he'll get a handoff, let's say.
Yeah, and I believe he was effective at that too. I am going to set his yardage 97.
97 yards. All right, I'm going to take the under. I'm going to trust this defense and say he gets under 97.
Okay.
All right, number seven. On Packers special teams, what will be the longest kickoff or punt return that they allow?
That they allow, not that they get, that they allow.
Correct.
Oh, damn, they were so leaky in the preseason, but most of those guys are not going to be on those teams. And they've also got, I want to say his name is Rusty Ford, wouldn't that be a great name?
Yeah, Rusty Ford, yeah.
I think we're going to call him that from now on. We'll call him Rusty Ford.
I think he's fast. I think he should be Speedy Ford or Lightning Fast Ford or something. Not Rusty. I think he's fast.
Well, I guess it'll depend on how he plays. If he'd be Lightning Ford or if it'd be Rusty Ford.
Okay.
The longest one. You know, they have some guys who are on the team specifically to stop this from happening. And so I think their longest return, whether it be punt or kickoff, I am going to put that at, I probably should put it as a half a yardage too. I'm going to say 31.5.
31.5. All right. I'm going to take the over. I think old habits die hard.
Yeah.
7.5. Well, at any point during the game, will they show the highlight of Rodgers being sacked and breaking his collarbone?
I will go no on that one.
Okay, I'm going to say yes, because I thought it was an early game. I don't think it was the first game of the season, but it was at Minnesota. I feel like it has that feel.
I think it was fourth game of the season.
I thought they were both undefeated. I think the Packers were, and then he went down. Yep. Anyway, so I'll say yes. 7.3. What will be the first play on offense?
Oh. Well, I'm going to go running play. I know that they're probably saying, yeah, they'll think we're going to run, so we're going to pass. So you want a specific play, not just run or pass, correct?
Yeah. Let's be specific.
You know, I think I'm going to go crazy here. I'm going to go with, it's going to be kind of a jet sweep.
A jet sweep. I like that idea. I think it's going to be Jones up the middle, just a handoff up the middle.
So between the tackles, you're saying, not the wide.
I think.
Okay.
It could be a pitch. I wonder. I'll say between the tackles with Aaron Jones.
Okay.
And then 7.7. At any point during the game, will Za'Darius Smith fake an injury?
Only if he's having a bad game.
Right.
I think he's going to be.
Or in other words, will the Packers win this game?
That's a good point. I really think that he's going to have a good game, and I don't think there'll be any faking of injury required.
All right, I will say I'll say no, but I'm interested. I think if the Packers just come out like, wow, they are doing well, I think you're going to see Za'Darius laying on that on the turf at some point. So let's just make awareness of that. And then the tiebreaker total points for Green Bay.
Oh yeah, can they score? I want to say 24, but I don't have that kind of confidence in this team's offense. I'll go with a strange one. I'll go with 22.
22. Okay. I'll say 28. I think they can. So I think based on my picks, I don't really know if I have a good, I've got Rodgers having a decent game. At the defense, getting a turnover, an interception, keeping Jefferson under 100 yards, but giving up a return. Yeah, I could see the Packers winning, 28 to this defense is real. Let's say 28-17 would be sort of my hope. What I'm afraid is Packers lose, 31-3. So,
well, and similar that's to last too. Year. It just what's hard about this for me anyway is knowing what we're getting out of the box. We have no clue. We have no inclination. They're without their traditional strength in receiving. They are playing on the road against tough opponent. And they should be better on defense. So maybe it'd be a low scoring win. Defense, I think defense is probably not as fickle as offense is. And so, maybe they could, wind up winning a 17-13 game, something like that. Yeah. But I'm kind of thinking, 24-21 kind of game.
Okay. Well, we both have as a loss, so we should go in with expectations low and be pleasantly surprised.
Expectations are premeditated resentments. Don't forget that.
Thank you, Doctor.
Pop culture time, my friend. What you got?
Well, this week, I started watching a new show that I'm sure you're not going to watch, but it's the new Lord of the Rings show
I will not be watching that.
Amazon Prime is released. And I'll have to tell you, Chris, most TV shows based on movie properties, like the superhero stuff or Star Wars, like you can tell there's a TV versus movie. They spent a lot of money on this TV show. I don't even know it's segmented movies is what it is. And the original movies I just love. Did you ever see the Lord of the Rings movies?
I saw the first one.
Okay. And that wasn't your cup of tea.
I fell asleep. Yeah.
Really? It's so well done. The music and Tolkien it's such a great story. I don't know if the story is going to be as good, but the production value of this show is over the top. So I am watching. I'm looking forward to that and hoping that that continues to kind of be an impressive place. Press was showed to watch. I do want to ask you, did you watch the rehearsal, Chris?
Yeah, I was to be fair, I did think of it, but I thought, I didn't write that down. So what it's called, but I am now writing it down. I know I had an assignment. I didn't do it, but I will do it this week.
So I finished it.
Yes.
And you just can't predict where this show goes, where it starts. You would think it would be episodic the way it starts. And I get it, what he's trying to do. It doesn't continue that way. I don't know if I've ever seen a show like it. I don't even know if I loved it at the end as much as I loved it at the beginning, because it's just but it wasn't for lack of interest or it's just what they cover at the end is bizarre and sort of troubling and very much a statement on the way we are as people. It's fascinating to talk about. So I still highly recommend it just from the point of view that we could talk about it.
I will definitely give the first. Now, I'm disappointed that your review at the end was tepid because you were so enthusiastic last week. So I will still give the first episode a try. You said they're 30-minute pieces, right?
Yeah, there are 30 minutes. Now, it's not that it wasn't – it was still great, but it was you got to see it to explain it. But I would not say, my interest or my enthusiasm. It was just that what happened was it wasn't uplifting. It was, you have to see it. There's nothing else like it.
Okay. Well, then that makes it worthwhile. The rehearsal, if anybody else has watched it, interested in hearing what people have to say. And again, you know, Twitter's the best way to get us. That's at Packers Therapy, or you can email us. That's also an option. So, my pop culture, you know, I've been doing mostly, in my spare time, it's been mostly fantasy baseball, to be honest with you. So the things that I've been consuming and reading have mostly been, you know, how do I win my leagues? You know, I'm in five, I'm winning two, I'm second in one, and I'm also participating in two others.
Yeah. It's not bad. Bad record.
It's going to, okay, but you know, but I'm being chased by Big Snake Man in one of these leagues, and I had a 4-game lead in the league, and I'm in the process of losing my second in a row. Well, Big Snake Man is on his way to, I forgot how many in a row he's winning. So it's getting a little bit tense, you know, for my best man, literally my best man. I kind of watch, I may have mentioned this last year, because I'm watching the new season, I actually completed watching the new season of I Am a Killer. These are a British company did some documentaries. It's on Netflix. It's in its third season where they talk to people, incarcerated people who committed murder. And of course, the circumstances are different in each one of these places. And the deal is, you know, they start off by describing, you know, the crime and the circumstances, and then you kind of get to know the person and what, you know, maybe led up to all of this. And sometimes it's like, oh, this is a travesty. You know, why are they getting, you know, life in prison, or in some cases the death penalty? Why are they getting these things? And other cases you're saying, yep, that's probably right for this person, you know? And the most recent one, it was the season ender for season three. This guy, and it's amazing how these incarcerated people, their versions of what happened and why. And then when they talk to like the surviving families and other people, it's totally different, you know, viewpoints on these things, as you might imagine. But this guy, you know, he needed money, he had a drug problem, he had a family support. And so he went looking for some place, store he could rob. And, you know, he goes into this pharmacy because he'd been robbing pharmacies for the drugs, but also for the money, and probably for fun too. I don't know. But it goes wrong. He winds up taking a 13-year-old boy as hostage.
Oh, jeez.
And yeah, exactly. And then he demands that he'll give the boy back if the local sheriff will, you know, get him an airplane and fly him to, you know, I don't know, Canada or someplace. And so, they kind of go along with this, and they get an airplane, and they get a volunteer to fly the little Cessna airplane, and it's sitting there on the runway. But of course, the local sheriff's got snipers out, and sniper takes a shot at the guy, hits him, and he's pissed off, so he kills the volunteer pilot. You know, the deal was, we'll give you the pilot if you give us the boy back, which was good. And this guy. And then, of course, they go on to tell a lot about who this volunteer, like the greatest guy ever. He was, you know, military veteran, good family man, pillar of the community. And he was doing this to save the boy. And, you know, he winds up getting shot by this dude. And what really kind of crowned it off was the reason why he shot this guy, because he was wounded and he was angry that he had been wounded and kind of betrayed. And so if I'm going to die, I'm going to make somebody else die, too. And so he kills this guy. And, you know, it's hard to feel sympathy for somebody like that. It really is. I know Jesus probably would, but, you know, I'm not. And so it was really hard to, you know, make any allowances, even me being a bleeding heart that I am. So that was a case of like, well, yeah, you got everything you deserve. But these other cases are just pathetic, where somebody's in the wrong place at the wrong time. They're viewed as an accomplice. They wouldn't make a plea deal. And so instead of getting 20 years, they got 40 years because they wouldn't take a plea deal. And the prosecutor was pissed in the same way that the guy that shot the pilot was pissed. And so, yeah, if you're not going to take our plea deal, we're going to give you 40 years instead. And, you know, so these things are really interesting, most of the time really sad. But I, you know, if you're interested in these kinds of true crime sorts of things. Very well done. It's called I Am a Killer, and it's available on Netflix.
All right.
All right. So, yeah, anything else before we launch into the real games, the real season where it all matters? You got any final words, Pastor, to leave us as a benediction?
I don't. I hope that this is another great season. I don't know if the team that we have now will be the team we have at the end. I hope that maybe we improve along the way, keep people healthy, keep Rodgers upright. Let's get 13 wins again.
Yeah, I'm tempted to say I'm excited because this is going to be an interesting year. But interesting years, would you take an interesting year or one where you're falling asleep in the third quarter because the Packers, like 2011, are just kicking the snot out of the other team?
Yeah, I do like the games where we're up. 2011 was actually great, just knowing you were going to win and lots of highlights, and then you sleep a little bit in the fourth quarter. I would prefer that. It helps my psyche, my stress level, all that. But it still can end in a horrible loss, which is what sticks with me through the offseason. So it'd be good to kind of get new blood going. I'm a little nervous about this Minnesota game. That's not a good start, but I think this is going to be a good season.
Well, there's good news and bad news, Dave. And the good news is I think it's going to be an interesting season. The bad news is I think it's going to be an interesting season. So let's strap in. Let's get ready. Let's get our ankles taped, helmets on. Let's get ready to go. Packers will play the Vikings next week. It's a 3:25 Lambeau Field time start, even though they're going to be playing over at US Bank Stadium. Dave and I are going to be watching. I imagine if you're listening this far into the podcast, you'll be watching too. We're going to be back in a week or so to talk about it. But until that time, I'm Chris.
And I'm Dave.
That is Packers Therapy.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Dave.
And that's Packers Therapy.